Good evening. It is good to see everybody here tonight, and I'm glad everybody's here. It was still sprinkling when I came in earlier, about 5:15 or so, but it is good to see everybody. Tonight we will be picking up where we left off last week in Daniel chapter 5, verse 5. We're going to go through verse 16. I know we're just taking this by chunks, but I don't want to do too much at one time because it's really good, and I don't want to not spend the time that we need to. So I'm taking it in little bitty chunks. But thank you for being here, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the ability to be here, to live in a country where we are free to do this. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we see written in your holy word. Dear Lord, it is the basis of everything that we believe, and it is the source of truth. Dear Lord, we thank you for that. Be with us, open our minds, open our hearts so that we can receive your word tonight as we discuss and talk about what Daniel records here in your word. Help us to understand it. And we ask all of this in the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Okay, like I said, we're going to pick up in verse 5. Now remember, there was a big gap in time between Nebuchadnezzar's dream when he was sent out, lost his mind, and lived out in the field and ate grass like the cows, and then was restored and acknowledged God for who he was. From that point to chapter 5, the end of chapter 4 to the end of beginning of chapter 5, there's a big time gap in there. So what's happened in those first four verses of chapter 5? Anybody that remembers what happened? They had a big party. Belshazzar, who was not the king, but in the absence of his father, he was looked at as the king. As I did more studying for this week, I told you guys last week something that was wrong. I told you that he was equal with his father. He was not. His father was king. Belshazzar was number two. And if number one's not there, guess who's in charge? The second guy. That's Belshazzar. He was looked at as the king in the absence of his father. Okay, and remember we talked about that at this point in time, it is very likely that Belshazzar's father had gone out to fight against the Mede and Persians and was most likely captured already. So why were they throwing this big party? Why was Belshazzar having this big feast, this big party? And did they think there was any way they could get to him? No. Remember, we talked about how big these walls were and how much higher the guard towers were, and that you had the outer wall, the inner wall, and moats, and they were secure. They had no doubt that there was nothing they could do. They could have stayed in there and partied like it was 1999, and nobody would have touched them. Right? That's what they thought. Okay, so in their party, in his boastfulness, what did he do? He called for something. What did he call for? The vessels that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem. Who took those vessels? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took them. Belshazzar called for it, and what did they do with those vessels? They drank out. They made them like a red Solo cup, literally. Excuse me, but that's what they did. They were toasting, not only drinking out of them and toasting to each other. Who were they toasting and praising while they were drinking out of these vessels? from the temple, God's temple in Jerusalem. They're false gods. They're false gods. So that's where we are right now. Okay? So pick up in verse 5 and look what happens. Suddenly, the fingers of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Do you guys remember the episode of Andy Griffith's show where Otis and his buddy set up a still in the haunted house and they were scaring people to keep them out of the house? Opie hit a baseball into the house and Barney and Gomer were afraid to go in and get it. You guys remember that? And Andy found all the tricks, and so he made them do it. He pulled the strings and looked through the picture and everything while Otis and his friend were out in the main room. And they're like, "It's not me. I'm not doing that. Let's get out of here." And it scared them. Can you imagine? Here King Belshazzar is. We know he's been drinking. We know he's been partying. And all of a sudden, he sees this hand writing on the wall and scratching it into the plaster on the wall. What do you think he thought? It says he saw the hand. You think it got his attention? Yeah. See, the guy can sometimes... God sometimes does communicate to man in unexpected and even shocking ways. This hand mysteriously disappears. And you know, we have a saying even now that comes from this story. The writing on the wall. Can't you see the writing on the wall? What does that mean? When we say that, what are we talking about? Can't you see what's going to happen if you keep doing this? Yeah, it's definitely a warning. But we have that saying now because of this story here, what God did. Now look at what Belshazzar did. It's in verses 6 through 9. It says, "Then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began to knock together. The king called aloud to bring the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, 'Any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me shall be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and have authority as third ruler in the kingdom.' Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the inscription or make known its interpretation to the king. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed. His face grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed." Okay, so I just ask you, how do you think he responded to seeing this hand? How does Scripture say he responded? Scared, senseless. Again, I can't help but when Barney Fife got scared, what did he do? He just started shaking all over. He could not function. That's what King Belshazzar did. It said he went pale. His hips, what does it say? His hip joints grew slack. That means he started going down. And his knees started shaking together. This big, boastful man was not so big and boastful at this point, was he? God got his attention. There's something else I want you to notice. When the hand left, the words, and we all know, we know where the hand came from. We know it was the hand of God. when the hand of God left, the word of God was still there for him to see, everybody to see. It didn't disappear when the hand left. It was right there for everybody to see. And so he's looking at this, and he is tore up. And he calls for them to come in and tell him. Now notice, remember what I told you earlier about his place in the kingdom. Look at what he offers. He says, if whoever can explain this to me, tell me what it says, you'll be clothed in purple, you'll get a gold necklace, and you will have the authority as which one in the kingdom? Third in the kingdom. King Nebuchadnezzar did what to Daniel? Bumped him up to number two. Belshazzar, I can't bump him up to number two because that would make Belshazzar number three. So he says, okay, my father's the king. I'm the number two man. Whoever can do this for me, you can't have my spot, but you can have the one right after me. You can have number three. They couldn't do it. And when they could not explain it to him, what does the scripture say? It says that he was greatly alarmed and his face grew even paler. And his nobles were perplexed. That word perplexed there people look to their king as being the source of strength, of courage. When they looked, they did not see strength and courage at this point. And it began to alarm them. When Casey was in fifth grade, Springmore Elementary School used to take them skiing up at Ski Mountain. And every year they would take them. Well, the teacher had told them, listen, don't get on the Black Diamond lift. If you get on the Black Diamond lift, you're going to have to ski down. Casey accidentally got on the wrong ski lift, and she realized when she was about two stories off the ground that she was on the Black Diamond lift. She didn't know that you could ride it up and then there were stairs coming back down, or that you could ride it back down to the bottom. So she did what any fifth grader would do to keep from going to the top of that mountain. She jumped two stories. We're setting up in the lodge watching these kids ski and everything, because I wasn't skiing, and Ginger had Timothy, so she wasn't skiing. And so I'm watching, and we're seeing ski patrol go out and get people and stuff, and I saw them go up with a sled, and I see them working on somebody over to the side, and I said, Ginger, that looks like Casey's coat. Ginger, that is Casey's coat. And we got down to where they were coming off the slope about the time they got to the bottom. And they brought Casey down in a strapped to a backboard with a neck brace on, brought her up, loaded her up, and the moment she saw us, her eyes were locked on me and Ginger. She did not take her eyes off of us. They loaded her up in an ambulance and took her to the hospital there in Boone. Ginger and I grab all our stuff. We load up in the car, and Ginger is a basket case. And I told her, I said, Ginger, you have to get this out of your system before we get to the hospital, because she's going to look at us, and if she sees that you're scared or worried, she's going to be scared or worried. So get it out of the, get it all out right now. Bawl, scream, whatever you have to do. But when you get there, you have to show her courage and strength, because that's what she's looking to us for. That's what these nobles were looking to Belshazzar for, and they weren't getting it. So that word perplexed is they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to act. They were just beside themselves. Now look at verses 10 through 12. The queen. Yes, sir. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And let me see. Okay, it's not in this. But when Daniel actually gets to where he's getting ready to share the interpretation, he tells the king, keep the reward. Keep the reward. For a couple reasons. One, he didn't want it. Two, he knew he wasn't going to be around long enough to pay him off. Daniel knew what God was getting ready to do. He read it. He knew. But anyway, look at verse 10 through 12. He said, the king or the queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. This queen, or queen mother, we don't know exactly who she is. But most likely it is Belshazzar's mother. Which would have made her the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, you following? Okay. You guys know when Nebuchadnezzar had his dreams and he called everybody together, Daniel was not summoned then. He was summoned afterward. After everything that the world had to offer could not answer the questions. That's when they turned to the man of God. Again, he was the head dude for everything. He was Nebuchadnezzar's wisest man. And here, He calls everybody in except who? Daniel. It's almost as if he didn't even have a clue who Daniel was, because the queen had to explain it to him. This Daniel, this man. And she was probably remembering something from her childhood. Remembering listening to her father talk about Daniel. But he was not And here is another thing. When she's telling the king about Daniel, she first refers to him by his Jewish name, by his Hebrew name, Daniel. Not by his Babylonian name, Belshazzar. He says, this Daniel, who your grandfather, or who the king named Belshazzar, I think is what he says, isn't it? Whom the king named Belshazzar, lit Daniel. So that showed some respect for his belief in the Almighty God. Showed some respect for God, because obviously she was not involved, the queen was not involved in this party, this feast. Yes, ma'am. How would they know more than the ones that were in the temple in Jerusalem, not recognizing their own prophets and prophecies? That's good. I like that. Thank you. Okay, look at verses 13 through 16. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom has been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me, that they may read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me. But they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally have heard about you, that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now if you are able to read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority as the third ruler in the kingdom." Just here is Belshazzar and all his nobles in this great room. And it is a nonstop party. Everything is going great. They feel untouchable. And in his pride and his boastfulness, he brings the vessels that were used in the worship of the God Almighty and use them as party favors, drinking out of. And God says, enough. Bringing that party to a screeching halt. The moment that hand showed up and started writing, everything stopped. That is when you watch in TV shows or movies and they're having a party and the dad comes in and goes, stop now! And you hear the record player go, eh! That's what that hand of God did in this party. It all just came to a screeching halt. And the God that they were mocking is now, just look at this. He doesn't even know about Daniel. But then he calls Daniel because his mother has told him about Daniel and everything that he could done, that he's done. The very God they are mocking is now the God they're turning to get the answer. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. What did Scripture say? Pride becometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. God just stops it. And you know, you've heard, I've seen this once in my younger days. And it was a sad circumstance that I saw it in. And I am thankful to say I was not with them. But my friends were slobbering drunk. And something happened. And I saw a drunk person sober up just like that. That's what happened here. The partying stopped, the boastfulness stopped. The proud, strong king became a shivering, pale-faced weakling with no answers. And he tells Daniel, I have heard about you. We don't know if the entire kingdom forgot about Daniel. But there was one that hadn't. There was one that had not forgotten. Over the last several weeks, the one thing that I keep getting from God's word is that God will preserve a remnant for himself. He will preserve a remnant for himself. Even in classes, we've been talking in some of my classes about God preserving a remnant for himself. What does that mean? That there is a certain group that do not forget. There is a certain group that do not go the way of everybody else. That they remember God. They stay true to God. Even in this, and remember we talked, I think it was last week, we talked about how even in Joseph, in Egypt, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, He was forgotten about in jail, in prison. Until, there was this guy back in jail. I remember him. Don't know what Daniel had been up to. But I do know, according to Daniel's character and everything that we read about him in Scripture, we know that he had not given in and been persuaded by the false gods and the life and the worship of the false gods that were around him, that he stayed true. We know that he was still there. We know that he was still faithful and God was still using him. And Daniel wasn't a young man at this point anymore. He was getting on up there in ages. You know, I think about all the pictures I used to see as a kid of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel wasn't that young guy. Daniel was what they would call long in the tooth. One of the commentaries, Trapp, said this. He said, "This silly and shallow prince hath nothing to say but what was put into his mouth by his wiser grandmother or mother." When it got down to it, this boasting, prideful king had no clue what to do and had nothing to be able to say. Any questions or comments about these few verses in chapter 5 before we go into our prayer time? Well, next week we will get into verse 17, where Daniel answers and interprets. And we may be able to get through the end of the chapter next week, and we will see. So thank you for being here. Terry, would you mind dismissing us in prayer from our Bible study time so we can go into our prayer time?
Lord, take it to our hearts. Lord, give us the strength and all going each and every day to use the message that we heard, and also we can be a good witness and understand your word. More and more we learn from it each and every day, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.